We're going to be in on the book of Daniel. Now, we've had some wonderful times in Daniel so far, chapter 1, 2, and 3. And I was getting ready to go to chapter 4, but then I thought, hey, you know, there's something really cool in chapter 3 I don't want to leave behind. Take your Bible, go to Daniel chapter 3. And if you've got a Bible or you've got your phone, be ready to switch back and forth between Daniel 3 and Revelation 12, or 13, excuse me, Revelation 13. Daniel 3 and Revelation 13. Now, last week I was in Kentucky. Brother Mark and Miss Kim say hello. They thank you for loaning me to them so he could take a break since his injury. But he's ready in the saddle today, preaching again, and just say thank you for allowing us to come out and be a blessing to them. But 2 weeks ago, we were in Daniel 3, a very familiar portion of Scripture, and we saw what I called faith on fire, faith under fire, and faith in the fire. We all remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Who learned that in Sunday school? Come on now, right? What was so cool about that? Do you guys remember? What did you guys like about it? Anybody? Yeah, the fourth person in the fire. When you're in the struggle, and brothers and sisters, especially our wonderful military folks, when you were going through some of the hardest things in your life, you were not alone. Jesus was with you in the fire with you. You couldn't see him, but he was with you. You know what was cool about that story was the only thing that got burned was that which other people put on them. Isn't that cool? Because we come into this life with some baggage, don't we? We all kind of come into adulthood with baggage, and we kind of come by it honestly from other people, you know, and they put it on us. But if you'll let God through the struggle, he'll burn off that stuff. Amen. I thought it was cool. You know, whenever we have a bonfire, I always come home smelling like smoke, right? You know, they didn't even smell like smoke. They were well done, and they got out and didn't even smell like smoke. I loved it. Anybody else? What did you like about Daniel 3 and the story of the three Hebrew children? What? Their bravery. What would you say, Rain? Go ahead. Yes, Jesus walking in the fire. They met God. Had they not gone through the struggle and been faithful, they wouldn't have met the Lord. Isn't that true, brother? And you said their bravery. They had an if not moment. That moment where they said, our God can, but if he gets more glory by not saving us, hey, we're still not going to serve your false God. That's what he said to them. And that's powerful. They stood alone. They stood alone in this. That takes courage to stand alone. And more, if you're going to, we're finding it's becoming more necessary for us as Christians to stand alone in this world we live in. You know, Matthew 24 is still in the Bible, and Jesus said things are going to get bad. Like childbirth. The contractions on a lady become more and closer together and more intense. These prophecies will become more intense and closer together as we await the return of our Savior. And things aren't going to get better. Things are going to get worse. So as the days go darker, how much more important is it for us to stand for God? And we recognize that sometimes we do stand alone. Now, we shouldn't stand alone just because we're stubborn or because we're narrow-minded, but because we're standing on Bible principle and we're doing it in faith to honor the Lord, not ourselves. You know, when Peter wrote and said that we are a peculiar people. In 1611, when the King James Bible was translated, the word peculiar meant it's obvious that you belong to God. That's what it meant. It didn't mean odd, strange, like Cirque du Soleil, all right? Like a shock show. You know what I'm saying? You are particular, or peculiar, excuse me, because it's obvious you belong to the Lord. Amen. People can just see it. They can tell by your character, by the words you say, and how you carry yourself. It's not a uniform you wear. It's the way you interact with people. It's the way you have those moments when you're like, no, thank you. I will not cross that line because I'm doing it to honor the Lord. Now, this story is familiar. We learned it in Sunday school. They went in the fiery furnace, but it's interesting how that each one of us get into what Adrian Rogers called incendiary circumstances. I love the way that man talks. But do you realize that you're either in the fix, as we say down in Arkansas, fixing to go into a fire, or you're in a problem, or you're just coming out of one. Yeah. Every one of us is in one of those three stages. You think to yourself, I hate to run it for you, but you think, well, everything's going great, preacher. Well, then hold on, right? Somebody's going to show up and mess it up, right? Right? And you think, nah, well, it's true. Now, Nebuchadnezzar is a narcissistic, self-absorbed, self-centered egomaniac. Man ruled the known world. He conquered everyone. Now, in Daniel chapter 1, he had conquered Jerusalem and he brought some of the royal seed, meaning the children from the royal houses who were trained. They could read, they could write. They were young, they were preteen or teen, but they could read and write. And Nebuchadnezzar valued that ability because that means they can learn. That's all a college degree actually does, by the way. It's just tell the potential employer that you could show up the appropriate amount of times and accomplish some reasonable tasks in a timely manner. How many of you are actually working in your degree field? 1, 2, 3. The rest of us are not. Right? The rest of us are not. Right? So the thing is, he brought all these boys in, and there's about 70 of them, but only Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Those four are the only ones mentioned of the ones brought into captivity, because those four stood on the line where God drew the line. They stood on God's word. They didn't do it frivolously. They didn't do it foolishly. They did it for God's glory. They did it by faith, expecting God to bless. And God did bless, because obedience always precedes blessings. Say it with me. Obedience always precedes blessings. Faithfulness is just obedience over time. And faithfulness always precedes promotion. Say that with me. Faithfulness always precedes promotion. You doing what God would have you do in the little things each day puts you in the right frame of mind and the right spiritual frame to where God can actually use you and it not hurt you, bless you, and it not cause you to be egotistical or self-absorbed. But the neat thing, before we move into Daniel 4, I wanted to stop at Daniel 3 for a second, because we already covered the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and the fiery furnace. But I wanted you to see that this is a book of prophecy. And when you're dealing in the Bible, some are direct references, like many of the prophecies of Jesus Christ, like he would be born of a virgin, that he would be born in Bethlehem, he would be of the house and lineage of David, that he would flee to Egypt and then live in Nazareth and be called a Nazarene, and all these other, those are direct references. In prophecy, there's also types. Like Joseph was a type of Jesus, hated by his brethren, rejected, sold for the price of a slave and betrayed and loved of his father, only to end up ruling over them at the end. He's a picture of Jesus. Well, in chapter 3 of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar is a picture or a type of the Antichrist. Nebuchadnezzar ruled the known world. He had dominated these different lands, and they became provinces in the Babylonian kingdom, and they paid him tribute each year. Up north in Chicago, we call that protection money. You know what I'm saying? Because if you pay me, I won't come in and rough you up. Anybody else watching God? You guys are missing your education, okay? That's how it works in the real world. And so Nebuchadnezzar felt pretty big of himself. But just as he ruled the known world, the devil's Messiah during the tribulation will rule the entire world. I told you to find Daniel 3. I told you to find Revelation 12. The Bible says in Revelation 13 and verse 7, it was given unto him to make war with the saints and overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth. Just as Nebuchadnezzar ruled over many different provinces, many different former nations with different languages and customs and laws, he ruled over them all. So will the Antichrist. And then Nebuchadnezzar also ruled. You can see back in Daniel 3 in verse 2, it says, the king sent together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, and the sheriffs, and the rulers of the provinces. Nebuchadnezzar, as I told you last time, had put down a mutiny in his army. And he knew he needed to unify the nation, so he wanted to create a religion where he would deify himself. The Antichrist will also rule over the entire world. He will need to unify his kingdom of the entire world, one nation earth, I believe is what they'll say. And he will set up a state religion and he will deify himself. And the world will bow to him. And you say to yourself, oh, Brother Mix, we wouldn't fall for that. It's 2023. Well, look in Revelation 13 and verse number 12. The Bible says, and he exercised all the power of the first beast before him and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that you should make an image of the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, and the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Men by nature are religious. The world we live in is looking for that one leader who could unify everyone and bring peace. That's all we talk about now is peace and safety. Men love darkness rather than light. The Bible says that we are in the last days. 1 John 2:18, little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that the Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists. Whereby know that it is the last time. We are living in the last days. The devil doesn't know when the rapture is going to come and take us out. So for the past 2,000 years, he has been raising up successive generations of people that would serve him so that when Jesus comes, when the Father sends Jesus to take us out, he could slip his man in, his counterfeit Messiah in. You ever wonder why we're getting more and more devilish legislation and the society we live in is becoming more devilish and more sinful? Well, that's because he's constantly raising up leaders knowing one of these days he's going to be ready to slip one. Maybe you've worked with one of them he's grooming. Some of you work in positions of power in our government. You've probably rubbed elbows with him when they've come on a trip. He's probably was nobody when you met him, but he's being groomed. Satan's got somebody in high school he's got his eye on. Somebody in college he's got his eye on. Because he doesn't know when Jesus is coming back. But he's got to be ready, poised. And what is he doing? He's grooming them through their lust for power and their lust for wealth. This is what he's doing. I don't have time to develop it all right now, but that's what he's doing. So Nebuchadnezzar is a picture of the Antichrist himself. And during the tribulation, the entire world will be faced with the same decision that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego faced on that day. So go back to Daniel chapter 3. Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, verse 1, whose height was 80 cubits and the breadth thereof was 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. The Antichrist will do the same. I just read that to you in Revelation 13. It says that he shall make an image unto the beast, verse 15, and should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. The Antichrist will make an image of himself, just like Nebuchadnezzar did. And if the people don't worship Nebuchadnezzar's image, what happened? Well, they were to be thrown in the fiery furnace. That's what it says in verse 6. And whoso falleth not down and worship that shall the same hour be cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Now, it's interesting. Nebuchadnezzar has the number 6 in his worship. Do you notice how that it's 80 cubits? That's 60. And the breadth of it is 6 cubits. And in Daniel 3:5, he's got 6 different instruments listed there. The Antichrist will also use the number 6 in his worship service. Back in Revelation 13 and verse 16. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand and in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. So it's interesting. What Nebuchadnezzar did is going to happen again, just on a worldwide scale, during the tribulation. One day the Antichrist will come and set up an image. He'll use the number 666. Then the whole world. You know, if believers standing on the Word of God stood out at the time of Nebuchadnezzar, you can believe that believers during the tribulation, people who come to Christ during the tribulation, will also stand out as they deny worshiping the beast. Now, It's not just those in Nebuchadnezzar's time, and it's not just those at the tribulation time. We also face some pressures today, don't we? Many of the same pressures that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego faced. Look in Daniel 3. There was emotional enticement. It was a pressure. Verse 5. That at that time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music. You fall down and worship the golden image. And verse 6, whoso falls not down, worship, shall the same hour be cast into the fiery furnace. It's interesting. At verse 7, it says, therefore, at that time when all the people heard the music, and he lists the instruments, he says that they fell down and worshiped. Everybody was doing it. The Babylonian orchestra began to play. It was incredible music. I don't think Nebuchadnezzar's worship service sounded like a monastery. Boring. No, it was like the Super Bowl halftime show. The best musicians from Babylon, the best singers, the best entertainers, the best dancers, the best everything. Now, I'm older than most of you, I get that. But how many remember Live Aid back in the 80s? Farm Aid? When all our favorite bands went back out on tour, it was the year Mrs. Mix and I got married and we were so broke I couldn't go. Man, we were broke. We were poor, boy. I'll tell you what, we was poor. But she knew how to make beans. You're going to have some today. They're awesome. Anyhow, 70,000 people in an arena, all jumping and like one big mosh pit and singing and chanting along with the singers. That's what it looked like. That's what it's going to look like under the Antichrist. Do you think he's honestly going to make it boring? Do you honestly think he's going to do anything substandard? No, the Bible says under his hand, craft will increase, merchandise will increase. And by the way, Satan is a master musician. In Ezekiel 28:13, the Bible says it was knit into his own person, tabrets and pipes, or like tambourines and pipes for music. Music touches the emotion. The limbic system in your brain, that part that processes emotions, comes alive and lights up when your ears perceive music. Music is a gift from God, but the devil has used it to enslave many a generation. The Antichrist will too. The Antichrist will do the same. Do you realize that the Nebuchadnezzar had special effects? He even had pyrotechnics. You ever been to a concert with pyrotechnics? Yeah, I wasn't always a Christian, all right? I'm just saying. I wasn't always a Christian. And I've been to several concerts where flames and things would blow up and come out over the crowd. And what Nebuchadnezzar had pyrotechnics. What did he have? The furnace. I mean, everybody was invited to this dedication only to find out they were going to be forced to worship. And here's this big furnace just belching out smoke and flames. And you've never been to a concert? I mean, some of you people really need to be educated socially. Huh? The Antichrist is going to have pyrotechnics as well. Listen to what it says in Revelation 13. Verse 12. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Have you not paid attention to the last several Super Bowl halftime shows? And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of the miracles which he had the power to do in the sight of the beast. What am I getting at? Well, there's going to be emotional enticement. There's also going to be social inducement. Back in Daniel 3, the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, all the leadership from all of the other provinces will be there. They'll be amongst their peers, and they will be commanded to worship. And in verse number 7, they all fall down. Peer pressure is a powerful thing. And Nebuchadnezzar had a herald leading his worship. Look at verse number 4. Then the herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages. And he goes on to tell them how they're going to bow down. During the tribulation in the book of the Revelation, the worship leader is called the false prophet. And I saw, it says in verse number 11, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, which had two horns like a lamb. He'll look like a sanctified, godly man who will lead the world in worship. That's what it says. And he exercised, and he speaks like a dragon, like the dragon. And he exercised all the power of the first beast, and he causes the earth and them which dwell in to worship. He's going to lead them in worship, just like they did at the time of the Antichrist, or time of Nebuchadnezzar, excuse me. There's also going to be, besides emotional enticement and social pressure, there's also going to be government enforcement. Go back to Daniel 3 and verse 6. And whoso falleth not down in worship shall the same hour be cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. You go on down and read farther down. It says that he had his soldiers cast Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire. That's governmental enforcement. Nebuchadnezzar had his soldiers enforce his edict. The Antichrist will also have his army enforce his edicts. It says in Revelation 13, verse 7, that it was given unto him to make war with the saints and overcome them. That's governmental enforcement. The government under Nebuchadnezzar, as well as in our day, is trying to condition people to not stand up to him. Have you ever watched a White House briefing in the last several months? She doesn't actually answer the questions she's posed. And nobody's calling her on it. Because they do what they want with impunity. Now you're getting too political. No, I'm just being honest because I love you and I'm your preacher. And you think this hasn't gone on? This has gone on for millennia. That whenever a government gets too big, it enslaves its people. Nebuchadnezzar's no different. You think, what are you getting at, Brother Mix? I get it, okay? I get it. No. If they're doing it in our day, and the Bible says in Revelation 13 what it's going to be like, what is it going to be like for your children? This isn't the America I was raised in. How many of you ever watched an old 70s TV show or an 80s TV show where they jump in the car and drop the visor and the keys fall out? Do you know why that happened? Because nobody stole your car back then. When Mrs. Mix and I bought our third house in Mossville, we didn't even have keys. We're on the northern edge of Peoria, a large city. We didn't have keys. I had to get keys to sell the house because nobody locked their doors. That's not the America we're living in. You go down to this school board meeting and voice your opinion. We ever thought we'd see the day you'd become on the FBI terror watch list? That's real, y'all. You live in this area. That's happened. So there will be government enforcement, just like it was under Nebuchadnezzar. They're getting away with it now. This isn't the mark of the beast, please, for Pete's sake. But how many of you freak out when you leave this at home? How many of you have an iWatch that reminds you you've gotten too far away from it? How many of you have an iWatch that tells you to take 3 deep breaths and be mindful? Yeah, this stupid thing. This isn't an iWatch. I'm not wearing it today. But my iWatch will do that. Listen, the Antichrist isn't going to have a problem tracking people and knowing where they are. This is the world we live in. So let me ask a question. We have several ladies who are pregnant in our church, and we praise God for them. But what's the world going to be like when their kids graduate college? If it's gotten this way in the last 20 years, what's it going to be like 20 years from now? Jesus said it's going to get worse. And Revelation 13 says it's going to be just like under Nebuchadnezzar. I think COVID was social conditioning. You're like, preacher, you're getting political. They threatened to lock the church door. They threatened to make me have a prison ministry from the inside. They did it in Canada. When these Hollywood idiots get up and say, we're not the only free country, they're lying. There's no free speech in England. There's no free speech in Canada. Or they wouldn't have arrested the pastor. What do you think the Antichrist is going to do? Why am I bringing this up? Because those of us who've trusted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior will not see that. We will be looking down from heaven when the Lord returns. But the people you love and the people you care about will face this if they don't trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Yeah. They will be presented with a choice. Take your Bible, go to Revelation 13. A man will come on the scene. He's the devil's Messiah. He will create peace. And through that peace, conquer people and make them become one nation, earth. And everyone will celebrate him for 3.5 years, and then he will stand up this image and make the world worship him. And then literally, it'll all break loose. In Revelation 13, it says, let me grab it real quick. I jumped off the wrong one. It says, "And I beheld another beast," this is the false prophet, "coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. He exercised all the power of the first beast." He had the authority of the Antichrist. "And he causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which they had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had a wound by a sword and did live." The Antichrist will get wounded, he'll die, and he'll rise again and be a fake Jesus. "And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed." Now, it says in Revelation 20 that those who did not take the mark of the beast nor worship his image will be beheaded. They will have been beheaded. If you'll look at Revelation 20 and verse number 4. "And I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and the judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Brothers and sisters, do you understand? The only hope of not being presented with this is to trust Jesus as your Savior now. Have you trusted Jesus as your personal Savior? If you died today, are you sure you'd go to heaven? I remember the day I met Miss Sarah Mix for the first time. I remember where we were. I remember how I felt. I remember how she looked. I remember talking to her. I remember where I was. Do you remember where you were and what it was like when you met Jesus? Can you give a testimony? Can you tell me what it was like for you to trust Jesus as your Savior? If not, then we need to settle this, brothers and sisters. We need to go ahead now and say, "Lord Jesus, please, I believe I'm a sinner. Forgive me. I believe you died and rose again for me. Please save me." October 9th, 1990, at 706 North Fulton Street, Lakin, Illinois, apartment B, in the south bedroom on gold shag carpet. I remember where I was. I remember trusting Jesus as my Savior. And that was the day God delivered me from the penalty of my sin. And he's coming back to deliver me from the presence of the sin in this world. But I think I'm looking at the faces of people who already know Jesus. So let's have a conversation, just you and I. What about the people you care about? You'll never have to stand before the Antichrist. You'll never have to make that decision. You'll never have to take the mark. You'll never have to stand up and stand out in front of him and lose your head. But what about the people you care about? You know what I'm talking about. Your friends, your family, the ones you love. What about them? "Oh, I'm just kind of relying on the church to do it." Brothers and sisters, the definition of the church is us, the visible called out assembly of baptized believers. We are the church. You are the church. So if they're going to get saved, if they're going to avoid this moment, this Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego moment, it's because they trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior because somebody told them. See, the Bible says in Ephesians 2:1, they're lost. Jesus' whole mission statement in Luke 19:10 was, "I came to seek and to save that which was lost." And in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, the Bible says, "And you hath he quickened," which means made alive, "which were dead." You were dead. You were dead to God. You were separated from God. And then you trusted Christ and you were made alive in Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in Ephesians 2:12, that at time that we were without Christ, there was a time when we were aliens to the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's a good definition of what your loved ones are like. I'm sure they're wonderful people. I'm sure you love them and they love you and they're good people. But everyone who doesn't trust Jesus Christ as their Savior will come to this Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego moment because no one told them. Take your Bible, go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, and this is how easy it is. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But look what it says. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. But for there, it goes on. I'm in the wrong, am I in the right one? Yeah, okay. I was in the wrong one. How then, verse 14, shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? We run into kids all the time that have yet to darken the door of a church for even a funeral or a wedding, let alone a gospel presentation. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Do you understand? How much do you have to hate your friend to not tell them about Jesus? The only way they're going to avoid this Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego moment is by trusting Jesus as their personal Savior. This is the promise we have in Scripture. I will never see this. I will never stand. I've already made that decision on this side of the rapture. But those who've heard, many will believe a lie. Well, they were taken out by aliens, or there's this new flesh-eating virus, and they're all gone, or they were the haters of world peace, so they've been moved to another place, or they'll be gone, and people will believe it. That's what it says. They'll believe a lie, and they shall be deceived. That's what it says in Revelation 13. He deceives them. Do you love those people in your life? Your mom, your dad, do you love your cousins? Do you love your brothers and sisters? Do you like your coworker at all? You may not want to have him on your Christmas list, but do you really want to watch him be thrown into the lake of fire in Revelation 20 and have him point and say, I worked with that guy for 5 years? Do you really want to be there? Do you really want that to happen? See, this is the reality. Nebuchadnezzar is a picture of what the Antichrist will be like. And the things that Nebuchadnezzar did, he will do only worldwide. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are a picture of what a Christian will be like if they get saved after the rapture. They're going to have to choose. Do I lose my head and save my soul for eternity? Or do I go along to get along and be damned for eternity? That's the moment they'll face. So let me ask you a question. If not you, then who? If you're not going to tell them, then who is? We are in a war for the human soul. Amen. The Bible says that this is why Jesus came. Now it says in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 that ye shall be witnesses. This is a command. That's who we are. This is what Christians do. We tell others because somebody told us. This year in Vacation Bible School, we had 24 little children make a profession of faith and believe on Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Amen. They made their Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego moment now. Tomorrow, the children will be getting on a bus and heading to camp, where they'll get away from the world for a week, away from the noise of the internet and their phone and their videos. And for a week, they're going to open their heart to the Lord and let God speak to them. What could possibly happen? Think about that. If they actually could hear from God and make a decision for themselves, what could possibly happen? Hell is full of somebody's little darlings. Hell is chock full of the souls of people who grew up and never trusted Christ as their personal Savior. And I'm sure they were cute little babies. And I'm sure they were wonderful little toddlers. But once they cross that age, where now they are responsible for their own decisions, they either weren't told, or they didn't know, or possibly just didn't believe. What about your friend? That cubicle, that person in the cube next to you that you have lunch with, that you sit in hour-long meetings with death by PowerPoint. Do you care where they go? What about the people you spent your 4th of July with? Do you care about their souls? God told us what to do. He said, go out to the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Because every soul matters. But every soul is a spiritual battle. What if Jesus said, this kind cannot come forth but by prayer and fasting. Would you be willing to skip a meal or two if it meant that person could be saved? Because you spent that time praying rather than eating? Would it be worth it to you in eternity? Well, what if they think I'm crazy? One of these days, you're going to have to draw the line somewhere, and they're going to think you're crazy anyway. Or you could share them the greatest moment that ever happened to you, the greatest life-altering, eternity-altering moment, and they become your brother or sister. And instead of your enemy, they become your brother. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Nebuchadnezzar is a picture of the Antichrist. And every human being that does not trust Jesus as their Savior will have a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego moment. And how will they choose if they've never heard? Our Father and our God, we are thankful for the truth of your word. We're thankful, Father, how that it challenges us. But today, God, I ask that you would stir us. Stir us from our little world, our little lives, and let us look up and see the bigger picture of why we're here, how we got here, and where we're going when we die. And Father, from that vision, that view, let us see those that don't know you. Show us in our hearts. In the next few moments, Father, bring to mind in every heart and every soul someone who does not know you. Now, Father, we pray for that person that just came to mind. We pray for their soul, God, that you would save them. God, that you would give each of us the courage to reach out and tell our testimony story of how we got saved. That this person that we've just thought of, that you just brought to our mind, could come to know Christ as their Savior. And Father, please, as we go from this place today, let us have the courage to engage their life with the truth. Father, whatever else is on the hearts and minds of people today, whether it's health or healing, relationships, finances, God, may you meet the need as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The altar's open as Ms. Mix begins to sing. Come forward. Let's just talk God. Talk to God about that soul before you talk to that soul about God.
Life is filled with guns and wars, and all of us got trampled on the floor. I wish we'd all been ready. The children died, the days grew cold. A piece of bread could buy a bag of gold. I wish we'd all been ready. And there's no time to change your mind. The sun has come and you've been left behind. A man and wife asleep in bed. She hears a noise and turns her head. He's gone. I wish we'd all been ready. Two men walking up a hill. One disappears and one's left standing still. I wish we'd all been ready. There's no time to change your mind. The sun has come and you've been left behind. There's no time to change your mind. The sun has come and you've been left behind. I wish we'd all been ready. You've been left
I'm here, I'll pray
behind.
With you.
we'd all been ready. You've been left behind. Man and wife asleep in bed. She hears a noise and turns her head. He's gone. I wish we'd all been ready. Two men walking up a hill. One disappears and one's left standing still. I wish we'd all.
There's no barrier too great.
Ready.
But are you ready?
There's no time to change your mind. The sun has come and you've been left behind.
There's coming a day when the Lord Jesus Christ will come as a thief.
There's no time to change your mind. The sun has come and you've been left behind.
And if you're born again, not the grave nor gravity will hold you down. For you are of the nature of God now that you're saved, and you will rise and be changed. But the opportunity for us to share our faith with those in our life is over at that point. Our Heavenly Father, we ask God that you would give us another opportunity to reach out to our loved ones with the gospel, with the truth that saved us, with the truth that we look to by faith, knowing that your Son will return when you deem it the appropriate time. So we ask God, in the meantime, you would give us courage and boldness. Give us clarity of thought. Holy Spirit, speak through us. Remind us of the Bible verses we've heard and committed to memory, that we might share our faith with love and mercy and compassion, and that they'll see you and not us. They'll hear you and not us, and that they will trust Christ as their personal Savior, as we have. Oh, Father, help us to deliver others from the impending fire, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May look this way.